Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Our guest today is a fan favorite, Brother Paige Tyler, our 12-step ministry guru. Guru in the sense that he has devoted his life to both practicing the steps and helping and coming alongside of anyone and all others who would care to do the same. Before Brother Paige and I share step 9, we share from the Word of God directly, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning in the 1st verse. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is important to understand that Christ has identified himself, and I quote, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me, if only because He is the way, the life, the truth." And as we shared from this text last time, it is so important for Christians and for men like myself and women for that matter who are speaking and who are otherwise imparting the word of God to be men and women of sincerity, men and women who, and I quote, "by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." We are both speaking and we are embodying or living out the open statement of the truth. There should be no deception. There should be no gimmickry. There should be no underhandedness. The language that the Apostle Paul uses here in the second verse, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. You know, I have found even amongst very sincere evangelists, there can be from time to time the creeping into the equation of the old bait and switch. This has nothing to do with the gospel. There is an open statement of the truth by which we live our lives. It is an open statement of the truth by which we interpret to any and all who care to understand as to why we live as we do. His name is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, there's a line from Dostoevsky, the great Russian writer, and I'll give you the paraphrase, but he effectively speaks to the effect that deception first and foremost lays in the heart of a sinner towards himself. We deceive ourselves far more often then we readily and consciously endeavor to deceive others. There is obstruction by way of sin and by way of the flesh. And the Spirit of God, who brings us into the deepening and greater knowledge of truth, the Spirit of God would bring forth clarity. We need to have 20/20 spiritual vision. And we, through eyes of faith, we see the beauty of Christ. Through eyes of faith, we can reckon with our own sin condition, understanding that notwithstanding the sin, God still loves us because of the sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We also are given with clear eyes to understand the plight of other people, even seemingly the worst and chiefest of sinners, may very well, and we don't justify the sin, but that individual may very well be just, may very well be motivated by deep deepening still internal pain and grief. Again, not justifying the sin, but sinful effects can stoke sinful actions. And someone perhaps who has been abused sexually by a parent or by a teacher or by an ecclesiastic, that person is now damaged and may not be living life in a rational way because of the hurt. And the way that person is living is, yes, sinful, but has also been sinned against. So we need to understand with clarity that we are all sinners saved by grace, and that any one of us who is acting in an inappropriate fashion, the sin must be confronted, but the conditions behind the sin need also to be addressed. I know my dear brother and colleague Paige Tyler understands this very, very well as he comes alongside of people endeavoring to grow out of their pathologies and more deeply into the presence of Christ. We speak here of the open statement of the truth. I love what the great missiologist out of England, Leslie Newbegin, called the open secret. We can know nothing of the gospel but for the fact that God has revealed it. And this secret that has been revealed through the text of Scripture and has been revealed to the hearts and minds of apostles and prophets, and yes, by way of the apostles and prophets, preachers and witnesses and martyrs, this gospel goes forth clearly and openly. And therefore we can give glory to God, understanding that those who do not share what we see, their minds, according to Scripture, have been blinded. Paul says, and it's a very powerful text, he says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. It seems as if there are infinitely more numbers of perishing today than heretofore, but that may simply be my perception as we bear witness to a world, at least here in the West, that has been increasingly jettisoning or letting go of or rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. For in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Their minds have been blinded. Now, we can't just blame Satan. It is true to say that Satan can only work with the tools with which he is given or the material. And as sinful human beings, we have created the conditions by which Satan and his minions can enter into play and cause all manner of grief to our lives. But Satan is not at fault. We've given him liberty and license. We've opened the door. But we have created the conditions. But praise be to God. I love this in verses 5 and 6. We proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants. So my role as a minister of the gospel, as a preacher of the word of God, is to be a servant to those of you who are listening for the sake, the greater sake of Christ and his kingdom. It may just be, and I would invite you to prayerfully seek after the answer to this query or observation. It may just be that God himself is calling you into the light. For God, I love how Paul puts it in Colossians, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I pray that you who are listening, that this word is directly and precisely and intentionally meant for you. And I pray that you allow this word to speak to you. If that be the case, then what Paul says of himself and of his comrades, and what I would say, and I know that Brother Page shares with this with me, may you also be able to speak it. The sixth verse, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, as he has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is often once removed for many people, and that once removed is embodied by men like Brother Paige Tyler and myself. God has called us, upon whom the light is shone, to be bearers of that light. He has called us and equipped and enabled us for our lives to be so illuminative with his presence that others will clearly see that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is my prayer for this word today and for each and every one of you. I praise God. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is always a pleasure to be joined around these microphones by Brother Paige Tyler, a man who entered my life and my church in the calendar year 2004. We lost him for a bit, and he came back right on the cusp of our church fire. He proved to be one of the great leaders, the servant leaders of our church, through a very traumatic but ultimately fruitful time. Brother Paige Tyler, welcome back to the broadcast.
What a blessing, Bradley. Always a blessing to be here.
Well, I praise God. And Brother, we're in the month of September now. I don't know where these steps go. But we have arrived at step number 9. I don't know how you feel. This is a tough one. It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But it is. Yeah. Everybody fears this step. It's a simple step. May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And the trick is here, we're not doing this for the people who we're approaching. We're not going to try and make them feel better, or we're not making an amends to them for their purposes. This is a very selfish operation. We are making amends to them to clean up our side of the street. We are making our temple appropriate for the Most High God and his Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come in and sup with us. I mean, my goodness, if someone told you that, we don't have a queen anymore, oh, there's a king now, the King of England, because I know you really...
I'm deeply saddened. I loved Elizabeth.
I did, too. But we will take Charles for now. Was coming to your house to visit you. Wouldn't you clean that place to the utmost? It would be the most immaculate place. He said, 2 weeks, King Charles is coming to your house to have audience with you. Wouldn't you have that place sparkling? Wouldn't you have it clean? It'd be the most immaculate place King Charles ever walked into.
Hey, the former Prince of Wales, I'd have Welsh flags over every wall. They would replace all of the draperies, yeah.
Exactly. So look, if you're going to have the Most High God and his Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, come and sup with you, wouldn't you want your place to be as clean as it possibly could? Do you want old dirty rags, old resentments, old angers, old sorrows, old shames, old angers hanging on your windows, covering up your doors, dusty old rags, covering your tables? Of course not. You would want to collect up all that junk, and you would be joyful about this, and you would be getting rid of it. And that's what step 9 is. Step 9 is taking all the shame, blame, guilt, anger, resentment, and any other feeling that is not of God, any of those things that are not think on these good things. When any of those things that are not those good things, you want to package them up and you want to get them out of your life. And as long as you in your mind have these things where every once in a while it swoops in, yeah, oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, how could I have done that? Well, I did it because they did this to me. And there goes in your head, and off goes the hamster on the wheel running around in circles going nowhere, burning out energy when you should be cleaning up the environment so that God can come and live. You're taking up space in your head that God should be taking up. And the way to get rid of it is to walk up to the person and say, I'm cleaning up my part. Even if that person doesn't accept your amends, even if they don't admit that they did their part wrong, even if they are egregious, it doesn't matter. You've cleaned up your part, and it's not for them. It's for you so that you can be right with God.
Well, there's that wonderful verse, if I may, in Romans, I think it's the 12th chapter. As far as it is possible with you, be at peace with all men. So you're doing your part to the extent possible.
To the extent possible. And for you, what you're doing is you're taking your part, you're shoving it out the door, you're disposing of it, and you're letting go of any resentment toward them. So you're opening up the door now for the fresh air, the light of the Lord Jesus to enter into your life, replace whatever that is, and fill it with His Spirit and His presence in your life to replace that. Now, if you have been doing the other steps, you've been following along every month along with us, and you've been working your steps, you're now up to step 9. This part should not be that hard, because it's not you doing the work anymore. If I have to make amends to all the people I've ever offended, that is a huge daggone task. But if I let the Spirit of God through me make amends to all the people I have offended, it no longer becomes a huge task for me. And with God, all things are possible.
Oh, and I would also add, brother, that if it is the Spirit of God directing you, there are at least two other factors other than and in complement to your cleansing. The one is that He has something to do in that other person's life, and He may be using you to get a hold of that person or to further that work. And the other is, by extension, I have found all along in my Christian walk, the older I get in that walk, the more pronounced the idea becomes. Whatever God is doing in me, whatever I'm aware of, His plan is infinitely greater than I can fathom. He's busy building a kingdom, and He's using us, and we'll understand our piece of the equation, but we won't fathom all that's playing out because of our piece of the equation. If you do not follow His lead, you can be an obstruction to what He's endeavoring to do.
Exactly. Exactly. You can really get in the way. In fact, one of the worst things to watch is some person who is on their own strength, you know, they got the Bible in one hand and a big book in the other. Well, that's the AA, that's the AA manual. And they're going out, and they're making their amends, you know? And you're going to take their amends, and if you don't, they're going to whack you with the Bible on one side and hit you with the big book on the other and walk away feeling self-justified.
Oh, that, I mean, you're essentially using the truth as a weapon and not as a surgical instrument. And that's you and I have seen that with preachers, you know,
yes.
My God, it's you're missing the whole point, but what are you going to do? Look, I want to continue impressing our dear brother Frank. We're going to stop early here. This is Brad Lacey and brother Paige Tyler. We return with another round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with a second round of Step 9 of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone. The Word of God is truth, and truth is applicable to any and all life. Brother, I've been thinking, we were talking about being obstructions and not conduits. I remember I was just sharing this in Bible class earlier today. We were talking about obstructions. And I remember being at a Celtics game at the old Boston Garden. And you could get cheaper seats if you bought the obstructive view seats. You could see you could see three quarters of the parquet floor, but you'd miss the other quarter. So I'm there one night with the great Larry Bird in the early 80s. And he did something. The place went wild. I mean, gaga. I didn't have a clue what happened because I couldn't see the play. You know? I had to ask what happened. They were getting upset with me. I had no idea. And so, you know, the obstructed view, if you will, is just deleterious to our welfare. You would think that people would want it removed, but what holds us back from this step?
It's like we get used to the log in our own eye. We get used to, first thing is, it's daunting, it's fearful. We're afraid of other people's reactions to us. And that is, and that's a fallacy, because when we're guided by the Spirit of God, there is no fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of strength and of a sober mind. So if we're working out of the Spirit of God, we're not going to have these things happen. But you don't know that until you do it. You have to do it, and then you start saying, oh, this is how it works. God's doing this. He's setting it up. And when he set it up, it's in his strength. It's not mine. And all those things I thought would happen, most of the time never happened. A lot of times when I was doing my ninth step, people were cutting me off halfway through and saying, forget that about that stuff, man. What you doing lately? How's your kids? You know? That's so old. I forgot about it. Or worse than that, they say, what are you talking about? You know, I've been carrying this stuff for all these years, you know, talking about feeling this stuff. They have forgotten about it. They don't even remember it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's God doing it, not me. And when God's doing it, the fear is also gone. Because when God's working, it's not me anymore.
Well, isn't it true that if he's working in you, he's undoubtedly working in the other person and has been?
And is setting up the whole deal. This is what you start thinking you're doing stuff, and you start realizing that God's doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. That he's setting up the encounters. He's putting the person in the right place at the right time and giving you the right words to say at the right in the right way. And it's all God and not me. And so why me worry? I turn it to Alfred E. Newman.
Well, this isn't quote Newman.
I turn it to Alfred E. Newman. What me worry? I just do what God tells me to do.
I don't want to be the guy who silenced the great Newman's quote. One of the greats, truly. You know, this is not an illustration of 12 steps, but the principle is the same. You know, I've been doing a project called Voices of Philadelphia, and we've been recording the Bible using known voices, whether on radio or from pulpits or whatever. And I went to one guy, a very dear brother in Christ. He's an African-American gentleman out of the Norristown area. And I inadvertently, with quotation marks, came across this guy at a restaurant up in East Norton. I wasn't supposed to be there that day, and he wasn't supposed to be there that day, but we both were. We started talking. I next invited him to bring the message at our last Christmas prayer dinner. And I loved the guy. I loved his message. And I said, look, brother, I'd like you to read some scripture for us for Voices of Philly. And he said, what book? He'd love to. I said, well, I'm hoping you'd be willing to read the book of Micah. I'll never forget the look on his face. Well, it was over the telephone, but the tone of his voice. He says, Pastor, you have no idea. And I said, well, try me. And he said, last week, the Spirit of God moved me to read Micah. I hadn't read it in a long time. God was working on both ends of the spectrum.
Exactly.
I'll never forget that. And that's what he's doing with step nine. He's working both sides of the equation.
Right. So if you step out of the way, by now, you will have long time ago turned your will and your life over to the care of God as you understood him, which is Jesus Christ. And if you have been practicing these principles in all these steps as you go along, you saw how I snuck that in there, right?
I was thinking you did it so astutely. So astutely.
If you've been practicing these...
You're a real... Hey, Paige, brother, you're a real pro, let me tell you.
So if you're practicing these principles as we go along in all your affairs, then what's happening is you're adding more and more to your life. You're becoming cleaner and cleaner. You're becoming more and more the image of Christ. And by now, when you're walking up to someone and you're going to make amends, you are a completely different person than the person you were when you had offended that person.
Yeah.
You're not even the same cut of yarn. You're not the same cloth anymore. And they'll be able to see that before you ever open your mouth.
That's right. That's right. I agree.
Now, not saying that you won't run into some people who will never, ever forgive you for whatever you did. Doesn't matter. That's not your point. And God will teach you how to handle that as well. Phil, you will run into one or two of them. But they are by far the lesser of the ones that you will see. You will be so overjoyed by most of these encounters that those few encounters that tell you, get out of my face and I never want to see you again, those few encounters you barely even remember, because you'll be so overwhelmed by such the great feeling that you had from the other.
Well, with some degree of exaggeration, just to make the point, a hyperbole to make a point, it's a bit like you watch those drug commercials when they give you the potential side effects and, you know, maybe 1 in 10,000 people are going to have something horrible strike them, you know. And I think it's something similar. It's going to be a very small array of people who may be resistant to what God is doing.
Exactly, right. And there's nothing you can do about them except for pray for them and move on, you know. You hope that God can get a hold of them, because obviously God couldn't get into their spirit.
But I do think you mentioned that you're a whole different ball of yarn. That wasn't your language. I'll use another expression from common parlance. You approach someone in this new state, you're giving off a new vibe. It's not the old vibe, it's a new vibe. And even if that person isn't ready to let go, you're going to leave an impression. You're going to leave them with something to be thinking about. Wait a minute, what is it with this joker? This is not the same man I knew. You're going to at least put a seed in them.
Exactly. Something's changed about him. Well, what do you know? Maybe he's a religious nut. Before he was a crack nut, now he's a religious nut. That might be...
Those religious nuts could be more deadly.
It's okay.
Well, all humor aside... Yeah, go ahead.
It's okay if he takes that approach. But you, like you point out, you are planting a seed in them now, because ultimately they'll walk away, even though they walk away with anger in their heart. They'll walk away and say, "What's with this guy
right
now?"
You know, Paige, whatever they think of us, a religious nut, whatever. You know, we're all fools, and we're either going to be fools for Christ or fools for something else. I'd rather be a fool for Christ.
Exactly.
You know, to speak it in, I mean, not literally, but my money's on Jesus, okay? Nothing's going to change that by any stretch of the imagination. And we have to be mindful of the fact that if somebody has been genuinely hurt, and maybe the pain that we caused that individual exacerbated a deeper, more difficult trauma, and they're not through that yet. We have to be so careful,
You have to be careful, and some amends you may never be able to make directly because they will be they will reopen a wound, and they will hurt the person more than they will help the person.
Yes.
And in those cases, you're going to have to accept the making a living amends.
Yes.
And that's where you have changed the way you are, and you'll never be that way again, nor will I ever do that again.
Well, your love for
whatever it was.
Yeah, your love for that individual may very well be nothing more or nothing less than staying away, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the long and the short of it. This is Brad Lacey with Brother Paige Tyler, our 12-step guru, by way of application and coming alongside of innumerable men and women. He has been such a great blessing. We return with the great message for one final round in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for any and all who would look to apply these steps, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Brother, I'm going to give you a case study, and I'm at the core of it. 3 years ago, Peggy, my lovely wife, was still alive. I knew she wasn't well, but she had yet to be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We were approaching the holiday season. This is circa 2021. It was my, I guess it would have been my 33rd anniversary in ministry. And I just felt the Spirit of God was leading me to reach out to two individuals from my past for the purpose of reconciliation. The first individual, the break occurred as early as 1991. It took two to tango. The second came in 1999, and honest word, I still don't know what the problem was. I don't need to anymore. I was led of God to reach out to both individuals, and the long and short of it, the gentleman from 1991 received me so beautifully. His family received me so beautifully. All was well, and shortly thereafter he took ill and passed away, and the family invited me to conduct the funeral. I was so deeply, deeply touched. Concerning the other individual, that person had been like, had been so very precious to me and is now three times as precious to me in real life. I praise God. There was a third person I could have reached out to, and I think you know of whom I'm speaking. This is not meant derisively, but I wasn't given the green light from God, and I was intrigued by that. A year later, after my wife died, I understood why. That person did not prove to be open to me still, notwithstanding the death of my wife. And if God knows, he's got the commanding heights.
Right.
And that's not a derisive statement. The individual's just not ready. Two were ready. A third was not. And I honored God with the two, and I held back because he didn't give me a green light on the third. And so, yes, my point is, if you entrust yourself to the Holy Spirit, he will not lead you astray.
So you make a good point that I'd like to follow up on. And that is that if you follow the Bible, you will be following the steps. The steps were distilled out of the Bible. And it is a simple way of reconciling yourself to God, Christ, and the world around you. The Bible tells you to do this. I mean, look what the Bible says about reconciliation as the scripture that goes along with this with this step. If you are, I believe we're at Matthew 5:23-24, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the foot of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and give your gift. So this executing this ninth step is not something outside of Christianity. It's something directly out of Christianity. In fact, it was a radical idea at the time when Christ was giving these type of instructions to his disciples. Because this radical idea was that your relationship with your brother or with your neighbor or with your friend was more important than your obligation to the temple,
yes,
which was tantamount close to blasphemy in that day and time.
Interesting. We go from institutional obligation to relational obligation. Paul talks about the only debt that we should have is the debt of loving one another.
Right. Exactly. So, and Christ made this transformation for us. Prior to Christ, we had institutional obligation. We were obligated to pay our tithes. We were obligated to do our pilgrimage at least once in our lifetime. We're obligated to make the sacrifice we were supposed to give at the temple. We were obligated to all those things institutionally. And Christ ended that and turned it into a relational obligation. I mean, it's obligated to our brothers, obligated to our sisters, obligated to our neighbors, as he pointed out in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because, my goodness, in that Good Samaritan parable, it would be like saying, oh, there's a good Islamic terrorist going down the road. He stops and sees an almost dead Jewish guy. That's the equivalent of a Samaritan relationship with the Jewish relationship in its time.
That kind of separation and animus, yes.
So what we're talking about here is he put relationship before with your brothers and with your sisters and with your neighbors and with those around us before everything else except for him and God.
And I would also add, when you had that institutional obligation, all of your contributions or offerings had to have one quality or character attribute, and that was perfection. Relationally, we can stutter, stammer, and stumble our way back into reconciliation as long as the motivation is sincere and sound. Praise God. Because I've never really...
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All you have to do is have perfect motivation.
Because I'll be honest with you, I tend to stumble, stammer, and stutter my way into all kinds of good things, you know? I always said, you know, like using the language of the football draft, one guy's a promise and one guy's a project. I was always the project, you know, and I was always a work in progress. So I'm still learning the art of reconciliation, the art and mastering of difficulties and the like. But the grace of God, I've made significant progress. I want to read as well, Brother Page, from 2 Corinthians 5. I love this. I truly do. In verse, beginning in the 16th verse, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. Last word, brother, 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Do not fear step 9. Or any of the steps. Approach all of this from the Spirit of the Lord. By now, we should have turned our will and our lives over to the care of God. And in the coming steps, we will learn how to walk with Christ on a daily basis, growing ever closer and closer to him.
Sounds good to me. Brad Lacey and Brother Page Tyner of the 12-Step Movement, we wish you God's blessing and grace in every way. Bye-bye.
Amen.